But just before we begin our worship, we have a couple of announcements. As you've probably seen from the screen, the Blythewood Christmas Shoebox Appeal is already up and running. There are numerous flyers like this up the back, out through those doors there. And if you would like to contribute, please do so. Get your shoebox, follow kind of the instructions that are on screen that you'll find in these leaflets. And it's a great opportunity to help out people who have a lot less than what we have. If you have a bulletin as well, make sure you get one of these. These are all the important announcements of the week are included in here. And it's just great to welcome you all here. It's great to have you fellowshipping with us. It's great, especially if you're a visitor and this is your first time here. You're very, very welcome. If you are a student returning, again, welcome back. If you're a new student, welcome. And a special welcome, of course, this morning to Jim Martin, who is our preacher for this morning. Welcome, Jim. We look forward to hearing God's message through you. And we're also delighted to welcome Pablo and Isia and Pedro and Pepita, Pablo's parents, who are here for Sarah's dedication as well. So we've got a lot to look forward to, but before we get to that, Heather Holmes has just got a wee thing that she's going to come and bring to light.
Yes, hello. I'm taking over the Student Hospitality Scheme organisation. So I just wanted to introduce you to it and to ask for some more volunteers to join in with the scheme. Over the next couple of weeks, the students will be coming back amongst us. Some, as Lynn's already said, will be coming back to resume their studies, and others will be arriving in St Andrews for the first time. For some, time at university is exciting and fulfilling, and it's all wonderful, but for many it can be quite a daunting experience, and perhaps even just a little frightening. As a church, we want to welcome all students, however their experience is. And I'll be coming back up the front in a few weeks' time when the students are settled with us to ask them what they would like to do to feel a part of the church and how we can help them. One of the important ways we want to help them is to offer those who wish a link family. Someone, a family within the church that they can meet with occasionally, perhaps have an occasional meal, but most importantly to offer caring support to them. A number of you have been involved in the past, and I'm sure would be delighted to tell others how important that's been to you and what a lot it means to the students and to their families who are worrying about them back at home. So if you felt you were able to offer this sort of care and support to our students, then there are some forms at the back on the welcome desk, or come and talk to me, and I'll collect your details, and as the students start arriving, we'll start being able to pair people up with linked families. If you've been involved in the scheme in the past and have students with whom you're still in contact, I'd also be grateful if you could fill in a form, because I don't necessarily know about those, and we'll ensure that those links continue. Thank you. The other brief thing is just to highlight something in here about says volunteers needed on the inside of the front page. This is a very selfish request. As a member of the Bible study group, ladies' Bible study group, with a child who needs to be looked after for that Bible study to take place, if any of you did feel you could offer an hour and a half, perhaps on a monthly basis, to look after 8 to 10 preschool children to enable their mothers to spend just an hour of quiet in Bible study and prayer, I personally would be very grateful. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here again with you in St Andrews, and we're going to open our worship singing the hymn King of Kings, Majesty, and then a shorter hymn, Spirit of God. But one of the lines says, let all that is within me cry out in praise. And may that be our experience this morning, that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's stand to sing King of Kings, Majesty. God is keener to speak to us than we are to listen. And He's keener to move among us than we are to allow Him. So let this be our prayer. Spirit of God, show me Jesus. Remove the darkness. Let truth shine through. Spirit of God, show me Jesus. Reveal the fullness of His love to me. Let this be our prayer for our service this morning. Spirit of God. Take our seats and let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Father, even this morning to have a glimpse of the Lord Jesus in all His grace and in all His beauty, in all His caring compassion for each one of us as individuals. Lord, what a joy, what a glory, what a power that would be in our lives. We thank You that the ministry of Your Holy Spirit is to lead us into truth and to lead us to Jesus' feet and to bring us into intimacy with Him. And Lord, that's why we need to pray. Take away any darkness from our known sins and our unknown sins, our habitual sins or our secret sins. We know that the dove of God will not land upon a dark place. We know that God will not bless what He cannot touch. And that God will not inhabit what He has not cleansed. And Father, we do not take it lightly that it was Your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for our sins and for our sanctification. And so we pray that You will forgive us for all the areas of our life where we have been willfully rebellious. And oh God, that You will meet with us. Spirit of God, show us Jesus this morning. Reveal to us something of the fullness of His love for us. And Lord, You know each one of us so perfectly. There's not an area of our lives that we can hide away from You. And You know the areas where You want to touch this morning. And Lord, I thank You that You are a God and You're more willing to move in our lives than we are to invite You to take full control. And Lord, You're more willing to speak than we are to listen. Father, I do pray that this morning that the scales will drop from our eyes and the stoppers from our ears. and that the padlocks will be destroyed from our hearts and our minds, that we might have open hearts and open ears and open minds to all that God wants to say and all that God wants to do. Lord, we invite you to be in this place and to minister by your Spirit into our lives. And we ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Liam's going to come and do the dedication.
Indeed, we've come to a very special celebratory part of our service this morning, as Pablo and Ithiar are here to present their child before God and to introduce her to us. And just as Jesus was presented in Luke chapter 2 before God in the temple, Mary and Joseph did this in order to give thanks to God for the gift of their child. They wanted to acknowledge God before God that their child belonged to him, and to commit themselves to carry out and fulfill the responsibilities of parenthood and telling their children about God. So I'm going to invite Pablo and Ithiar and Pablo's parents, Pedro and Pepita, to come up as well. And as a church, I mean, we're delighted to share in the dedication, this act of worship, really, of little Sarah here. We are delighted to welcome you both, and to Pedro and Pepita again this morning, and to little Sarah, of course. And thank you for allowing us to share in this. We're rejoicing that Sarah is a gift to Pablo and... Sorry, I'll speak quieter. We rejoice that Pablo and Ithiar have been given a wonderful gift in Sarah. And we, as a church family, should be rejoicing also, because she's been born into our fellowship, and we are delighted and we share in your joy also. Now, Pablo and Ithiar, this is your opportunity to share a little bit of what Sarah means to you, to introduce her to us, and also to let us know how God's been speaking to you in this time. So, who's first?
So, this is little Sarah, and she was born on the 20th of August, and it was a very special date already, because it was Pablo's birthday, so it was Daddy's birthday. So I think now we are going to celebrate that one. And she weighed 8 pounds, and she was nearly half a meter long, so quite a big baby. And, well, Sarah, as you probably all know, is princess, and we think she's really our princess. So. She's quite a quiet baby most of the time, so she'll probably cry today too.
Yeah.
And her favorite things, I think, one is eating, another one is people. She loves people, and she loves being cuddled and being talked to, and also she loves music. So she loves being, if you can sing a song, and I think she loves it. So.
Liam asked me as well to tell something about what Sarah has meant for us, and we have been waiting for her for a long time, and when we learned she was coming, we felt very happy. And however, after she was growing, and we could see that inside the fear, it was only when the nurses took her to me after the delivery that I realized that we had someone else in the family after so many years living by our own. And that makes us very happy and very grateful to God for this lovely present. Also, now she is with us, we have soon realized that that's only the beginning, and we feel very excited to see how she is growing and developing. And we think it's amazing to imagine that for the Lord as well, he is following her and following each of us with love as we are growing. And we just wish that the Lord will guide her life all her days. And we finally wanted to read a hymn that is number 999 and dedicate that to her. Show me, dear Lord, how you see me in your eyes, so that I can realize your great love for me. Teach me, O Lord, that I am precious in your sight, that as a father loves his child, you love me. I am yours because you have chosen me. I am your child because you have called my name, and your steadfast love will never change. I will always be your precious child. Show me, dear Lord, that I can never earn your love, that a gift cannot be earned, only given. Teach me, O Lord, that your love will never fade, that I can never drive away your great mercy.
Thank you. I have a couple of readings for you to have a little think about concerning children. And the first one is taken from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again." So here God's word is already telling us all the great things that you already know about God. Teach Sarah and impress upon her how great God is and how much he has done for us and how he has made it possible for us to have a living relationship with him. The second reading is from Mark 10, 13 to 16. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples told them not to bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God." Then he took the children into his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. Jesus rejoiced in the presence of children, and he loved to have them nearby, and he embraced them, and he blessed them. And so as we come to our questions for this morning, Pablo and Itiar, the first two are for you. Do you thank God for the gift of Sarah? Do you accept the joys and responsibilities of parenthood? And do you promise to love and care for Sarah? And do you promise to raise Sarah within the Christian community, the family of the church, and to lovingly share your own faith with her? Pedro and Pepita, do you promise to love and support Sarah in every way? And with Pablo and Ithiar, dedicate yourselves to sharing your life with Sarah. Excellent. Thank you. And now, St. Andrew's Baptist Church. Do you promise to offer to Sarah and to her parents love and care and prayer? To join with them in telling little Sarah how much Jesus loves her. Good.
Hello?
She's yawning. That's a good sign. Let's pray together. Sarah, Jehovah te bendiga y te guarde. Jehovah haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de misericordia. Jehovah alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Father, we do indeed rejoice with Pablo and Ithiar and Pedro and Pepita at the gift of little Sarah into this family. We praise you that we are a part of this as well. And we praise you that we have the great privilege of praying for Sarah and for Pablo and Ithiar, for them as they raise little Sarah in the Christian faith. And we pray that we would help them to tell little Sarah all about Jesus, about how much he loves her and how much he wants her to be with him. Father, thank you for that wonderful picture of Jesus embracing the children and blessing them. And we pray the very same today, that Jesus, you would embrace little Sarah and Pablo and Ithiar and the family and bless them indeed. Help Pablo and Ithiar in all that they will do in raising little Sarah, and give them your guidance. Help them to share her, their faith with her and bless her. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to keep her. They've chosen a song, and they have chosen Father God, I Wonder. So let's stand and sing this together.
Our reading this morning is in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14 and verse 53. And we're going to read through to verse 72, down to the end of the chapter. So it's Mark chapter 14, it's a well-known passage, and verse 53. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And there he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another, not made by man. Yet even then, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard this blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists and said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near to Peter said, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the cock crowed the second time. And then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and he wept. Amen. And we thank God for his word and for that reading from his word this morning. Let's continue our work. Father, even if the whole realm of nature belonged to us, it would be an offering far too small. For the love that has been revealed to us demands our lives, our souls, and our all. And Lord, we want to be more than people of words. We want to be a people whose faith works, and whose faith works in giving. And Father, we bring this offering to you, and we ask that you'll use it, and you'll bless it. Use it at home for the extension of your kingdom, and for the proclamation of the gospel, and for the growth of your church, and use it abroad to show the love of Christ in word and in deed. Father, receive our offering through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing again. It's the hymn, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." Let's bow again in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that you meet with us and you open our eyes and you open our ears, and that you become real, especially in the place of prayer when we gather as the family of God to hear the Father and to meet with our brother, the Lord Jesus, and to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that we thank you that when we're in that room on our own and your word is open, or we sit quietly or we're praying, we thank you that you become real. And Lord, we do thank you that your work is real throughout the world. And we thank you for that enormous army of men and women who are bringing the love of Christ in so many nations today. Father, we thank you for the missionaries that are supported by this church. And we bring them before you, asking that to them you will indeed be mouth, matter, and wisdom. That to them you will be security and satisfaction. Asking, O God, that they will see fruit for their labors. And yet, Lord, we're conscious also of the forces of darkness at work in our world. We think of Northern Ireland again, and somehow we thought those dark forces had gone to sleep. But again, we hear those dreaded words of riots and petrol bombs and glass bombs and nail bombs from men and women whose hearts have not been conquered by the love of Christ. From men and women who have been introduced more to religion than to the Lord Jesus. Father, we do pray. We pray for those who are in government in Northern Ireland, for those members of Parliament, for the leaders of the political parties, and for the police and the security services. And Lord, we pray for the people, that they might be given a God-given and heartfelt desire for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we think of those who are going through painful anniversaries. Those for whom the numbers 9/11 really bring so much pain. Those in Bethlehem for whom the word school brings so much pain. And those in New Orleans and the surrounding states for whom the word Katrina brings so much pain. Father, I thank you that in all of these places you have your people, and that through them the love and the comfort and the security of the Holy Spirit is at work. Father, we do want to pray for this town of St. Andrews. We pray for every message, every gospel message from your word that will be preached this morning. Lord, I pray that men and women who belong to you, that they will be hungry for God and long to hear God's word. I pray, Lord, for those who are sleeping, those who were once so active, but the world has come in. Lord, I pray, speak with the voice that wakes the dead. And may thy people hear. And Father, it is an indictment upon us that the majority of people still believe that if they do their best, and if there is a heaven, then they have no reason to fear. And the gospel of the sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is unknown. Father, we do pray that as you gave power to your people of old through the Holy Spirit, power to witness and power to take a stand for what is right and good and true and biblical, Father, I pray that for ourselves, that we will indeed know the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will take our stand in our day and generation. Father, we suffer so little, and we know that in many nations of the world, people suffer so much. Heavenly Father, grant that your people might long for the fullness and the overflowing of your Holy Spirit. And Father, you know that in a company like this, there are those with special needs or facing enormous challenges. There are those who are worried about next week. Others who are concerned about members of their family. Lord, you know our hearts. And Lord, I do pray that as you look over us, that you will speak into each individual situation. Father, we find it so awesome that the God of the universe should be so passionate about our lives, about our problems and our worries and our challenges, about our mistakes. Father, I do ask that you might meet with us this morning and just remind us that the God of the universe has the humility to lie in a manger, and that in the death of Christ there was the death of death and the birth of hope. Father, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the saddest stories in the New Testament is the story of Peter. And in verse 54, it talks about Peter walking at a distance. You know, every time I read those three words, at a distance, it's as if my heart hits my boots, because for many, it's a common condition. Now with Peter, we can understand that he was afraid of what was going to happen and afraid for his life. But when you take the whole of Mark's gospel into consideration, it's more than fear. At the end of chapter 8 and verse 31, we read that in the middle of Jesus' ministry, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And after 3 days rise again, he spoke plainly about this. You know what Peter did? Peter took him aside and rebuked him. I suppose the modern equivalent would be, no more of that, Jesus. That's chapter 8. Chapter 9 and verse 9. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Somehow the message wasn't getting through. And it couldn't be clearer than in the next chapter, chapter 10 and verse 33. And this is what it says, "We are going up to Jerusalem," Jesus said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Jesus was speaking plainly. And Peter wasn't listening. And Peter wasn't getting the message. And sure, on that Gethsemane night, sure he was afraid. And that fear kept him from being too closely associated with the Lord Jesus. But what I want to say in particular about Peter is that that lack of listening led to a lack of intimacy. He wasn't hearing from Jesus. And so we have those three terrible words, "at a distance." In chapter 8, it says that Jesus began to teach them about the last things, and he taught them plainly, and Peter took him aside. And you know, Peter's deafness, by the time they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, is acute. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." And there's two interesting words of Peter. Peter insisted emphatically. Chapter 14 and verse 31. He insisted emphatically. Now sometimes we have this big cuddly idea of Peter. You know, the big fisherman. The guy who just rushed in. But there's another side to this man. He's the man who took Jesus aside and who said to Jesus, "No more of this, please. No more talk of death and resurrection." He's the man in Gethsemane who insisted emphatically that though everyone else left him, he would never leave him, that he was prepared even to die for Christ. Peter wasn't listening. Peter wasn't hearing. And the result are those three words, "at a distance." Loss of hearing and loss of intimacy go hand in hand. And I just wonder if men and women still hear from God. Sometimes I feel a bit odd, because I do feel that I hear from God. And in Peter there's a particular example: loss of hearing, loss of intimacy. And I've seen it so many times in pastoral situations. People say, "I just don't hear from God any longer." They lose their intimacy. The fire goes out. And what I want to speak about this morning is simply God, the communicator.